Revelation 13. Sorry. No telling what you'll get this evening. Just wipe it out and go on. Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. We made it through verse 8 this morning, talking about the book of life. We'll look at something tonight. We'll mention a couple of things just quickly and briefly in verses 9 and 10. And then we'll talk about the false prophet, Lord willing. I'll read verse number 9. Well, I can't start there. Let's see. I'll just start at verse number 1. Why not? Start at the beginning, right? The Bible says in verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be here again this evening. Lord, thank you for folks that have come out to be with us tonight in the service. We have so much to be thankful for, and we're just so grateful. Our hearts are just overflowing, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would help me this evening. I'm tired. The people are tired. I pray you would help me to be able to keep them awake and interested. And I pray you'd speak to our hearts from your word for just a little bit. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to just finish up a couple of things from verses 9 and 10 because we did not get into those verses at all this morning before we get to verse number 11. Verse number 9 says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." Now, I just want to mention one very interesting thing about this. This phrase, if you'll come back to chapter 2. This phrase is mentioned to all 7 of the churches that are talked about in chapters 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. And there's a phrase missing here in chapter 13 in verse number 9, and that is to the churches. Let me show you an example. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, look at chapter 3. Look at the last verse in chapter 3 for the sake of time. We're not going to look at all 7 of them. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So when this phrase is mentioned to the 7 churches, to all 7 of those, that is included to the churches. Here in chapter 13 and verse number 9, the phrase "to the churches" is not mentioned. I believe it not being mentioned is just one more fact or one more proof that the church is gone. It's not here. So now look at verse number 10. "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, John here is telling the tribulation saints that there's no use in trying to defend yourself. There's no use in trying to kill the Antichrist with the sword or by violence, because if you do, then by that method, you will be killed yourself. Now, how do we know that this applies to believers? Well, because of the previous verse that we just mentioned, if any man have an ear, let him hear. That phrase is always to the saints or to believers. And also because the Bible tells us here, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So we know that he's talking to the saints. This means that they're just going to have to sit back and trust God in their conflict and in their problems. Now, in verse number 7, it talks about war is being made against them and all hope of resistance against that attack or that enemy. Verse number 10 is just nothing that we can really do about it, nothing you can change. And so we can rest in confidence that one day the Lord himself is going to avenge our killers. Now, or speaking of these tribulation saints, you and I, who are saved, who know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, there are going to be times that we're just going to have to resist the wrong and do right regardless of what anyone or whoever thinks about it. We're just going to have to trust God to take care of the results. I'm glad he's able to do that. Now, verse number 11 is where we wanted to get to. We talk about the false prophet for just a little bit this evening. It says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Now, if you remember chapter 4, verse number 12, we talked about the dragon that was cast out of heaven. The Bible says in verse number 9 of chapter 12 that he is that old serpent called the devil. He is the anti-God. Here in the beginning of chapter 13, the Bible talked about, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." And so we've talked about this first beast. We did that on last Sunday morning. And he is the Antichrist, and he represents his one world kingdom. Now, here is another beast in verse number 11. Now, the Bible says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." So here's another prominent character in the tribulation period, and he is the false prophet. We know that because he is called by that name three times. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 13. Chapter 16 and verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." Now look at chapter 19. Chapter 19. I really like this reference. Verse number 20 says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Now look at verse 10. Chapter 20, look at verse number 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So this second beast, he comes up out of the earth. This is important because this second beast is different from the first beast. I was reading Brother Rob Carlson's notes, and he said there are some commentaries that say these two beasts are the same. I thought, really? It plainly says another beast, and this one comes out of the earth, and that one comes out of the sea. And sure enough, I'll tell you what I was doing. I sat down on the couch later that night. I have several Bibles. I have them all over the house. I have one that lays on my little table beside of my recliner. I reached over there. I would tell you what kind of Bible it is, but some of you would be mad at me. It's a King James Bible. It's a King James Bible. And let me get that straight really quick. I'm talking about the manufacturer and all. So I was reading that Bible, and I was reading over this chapter, and there was a footnote for this thing. I read that footnote. You know what it said? This is the same beast. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So now all of you want to know what notes and what that Bible says. So Brother Rob Carlson had said that. I thought, no, there ain't no way. And I picked up that Bible and was reading the footnotes. And sure enough, that guy said, this beast is the same. So I was reading some other commentaries. And oddly enough, there were a couple that made that statement. This is clearly a different beast. The Bible says it's another beast. The first one comes out of the sea. This one comes out of the earth. This one only has two horns. The other one has, what, 7 and 10 or whatever it is. He has 10 horns and 7 heads. So it's clearly a different beast. His horns, the Bible says, concerning this second beast that has come up out of the earth, this false prophet, his horns is like a lamb. A lamb is a picture of right. A lamb is a picture of righteousness and true faith. His horns speak of power, but he spoke as a dragon. We certainly know that this dragon is a picture of wrong. So he appears as a lamb, which is passive, but he speaks as a dragon, which is wicked. And so the false prophet is actually a mouthpiece for the devil. He is empowered by the devil himself, for he is a false spirit. In fact, he is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the anti-God, the anti-Christ, and now we have the anti-spirit, the satanic trinity. Now, look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So, okay, this first prophet, he's going to be a very powerful character during the tribulation time. And just as the Antichrist, we read it just a moment ago, if you noticed in verse number 4, just as the Antichrist is going to get the world to worship the devil, now we read that the false prophet will influence the world to worship the Antichrist. Now, he is the exact opposite of the Holy Spirit. We certainly understand. Let me show you. So look at John, hold your place here. Look at John 16. The Holy Spirit, if you remember from reading that, he doesn't speak of himself. He points people to Jesus. And the anti-spirit doesn't seek any worship for himself. He's trying to get folks to worship the Antichrist. Here's what I was talking about in John 16, speaking of the Holy Spirit, verse 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice this phrase, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Here's what Jesus said, verse 14, he shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit of God never boasts of himself. He always points people to Jesus Christ. He always glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The anti-spirit, the false prophet, will encourage people to worship the Antichrist. Now, come to verse 13, Revelation 13, come to verse 13. The Bible says, and he doeth great wonders, plural, so there's a lot of them, but then it mentions one, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, I think it's interesting, the one that's mentioned here, the false prophet will be able to perform miracles, and the true and living God has often in the Bible, I want to read you some of them in just a moment, has often revealed himself by calling fire down from heaven. And so that is exactly what this false prophet, or one of the things that he is going to be able to do. So let's look at some places in the Bible, they'll be familiar to you, where fire was called down from heaven. Come all the way back to Genesis. This is one you'll recognize quickly. Genesis chapter 19, Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19, look at verse number 24. The Bible says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And so the Lord sent fire from heaven to burn the Sodomites and their neighbors. Look at Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. He used fire in Leviticus chapter 10 to slay Nadab and Abihu. Look at Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 1. Leviticus 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So here, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire unto the Lord, and so the Lord sent fire down from heaven and devoured them. Look at 1 Kings. You'll recognize this one as well as you did the Genesis 19 one. In 1 Kings chapter 18, he sent fire upon Mount Carmel down from heaven because Elijah prayed. If you remember that sermon, Brother James preached it from the camp meeting. He used that reference to show that something that God had done before, and that was a blessing. Look at this, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 38. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. So this anti-spirit, this false prophet is mimicking miracles that the Lord had done before. Come to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. This one maybe not be as familiar, but I was reading it again, familiarized myself with it. I liked it, so I'm going to read several verses here. 2 Kings chapter 1, look at verse number 9. The Bible said, then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of the hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came fire down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And fire came down from God, and the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, look, here's the third time, verse 13. And he sent a captain of the third 50 with his 50. You know what I'm thinking when I read stuff like this? Who are these men? Have you ever heard of a deserter? I mean, you know, the first guy's okay. The second guy, I'd be a little weary. This third group, I'd be like, King, I'm really sick today. I'm going to have to take the day off. No, but so this third group, they go up. The Bible says in verse 13, and he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees. Yeah, that's exactly how I'd approach him too. Before Elijah, and besought him and said, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So many times, several times in the Bible, fire came down from heaven and performed some kind of work that the Lord wanted done. Now, the false prophet will be able to call fire down from heaven. Now, it's been suggested by at least one writer, the men that I read, and they even referenced some things for it in Psalm 16. But it said that it is likely that the false prophet will be taking those who refuse to receive the mark, and they'll be cutting off their heads and drinking their blood and laying their bodies on the altar of sacrifice and calling down fire from heaven to destroy their bodies. Now, that's extreme, but that could very well be what's taking place. There are some, in Psalm 16, it does talk about this blood and drinking of the blood. So if that's what he's doing, I'm telling you, I sure am glad I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm not going to be around to witness any of this stuff, amen? And I hope you know Jesus so you don't have to worry about it as well. Now, when the people see this happen, talking about the fire coming down from heaven, they will be sure that the false prophet is the true God. Why? Because they're going to know, or they'll at least have some idea, that God has done this before. He's called fire down from heaven before, so this guy must be God. So the earth is going to be deceived. The people of the world are going to be deceived by a miracle. I've said this before, just because there's a miracle being done doesn't mean God did it. Now, I've read this verse before too, but I want to read it again. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, look at verse 14. We read verse 13 a moment ago. The Bible says, "For they are the spirits of the devils." Look what it says, "working miracles." Now, we talked about that in great length on last Sunday morning, so we're not going to talk about that much again. Just because you see something with your eyes that seems to be a miracle does not mean God had anything to do with it. In fact, I made mention of the fact, regardless of what you see with your eye, if it doesn't match what the Bible says, you better not go with what you saw. You better believe the Bible. And so they're going to be able to perform miracles. Now, this miracle-working false prophet, this matches. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 matches what the Apostle Paul wrote concerning the false prophet. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 8. It says, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, his end's coming, amen, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now notice this phrase, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So there are a multitude of religious folks who are already running to all kind of signs and lying wonders and all kind of miracles and stuff like that today. So if it's already as bad as it is today, can you imagine how bad it's going to be during the tribulation period? People are flocking to worship these false gods. Look at verse 14, Revelation 13. Look at verse 14. Speaking of this false prophet, he says, "And deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." So, as I mentioned before, the false prophet is going to persuade the world to worship the Antichrist. And the false prophet will suggest that the world honor the Antichrist by making an image that they can worship in his likeness, an image or a statue of the Antichrist. And so the religion in the tribulation period is going to emulate idol worship. There's going to be a lot of idol worship involved in the religion during the tribulation period. And there is certainly one, probably more, but certainly I'm sure there are more, but there's one prominent religion today that we know a lot about that incorporates a lot of idolatry and image worship into their worship. And if you were thinking Roman Catholicism, you were thinking correctly. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast." I hate to keep slapping Disney. Not really. But not really. I kind of like slapping Disney around. They're corrupt. They're wicked. They're ungodly. They're sodomite lovers. They're demonizing your children. I'm tired of tiptoeing around about it. They're corrupt, wicked, evil. It's unbelievable. The anti-God spirit in Disney. They have been giving power to images for years. And it's going to continue in the tribulation period with the worship of Antichrist, that the false prophet is going to give power to that image to make it speak and to have a will. Sound anything like you've heard of before? Yeah, it's already been introduced to you. You're welcome. Now, come to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I don't say that to hurt you. I say that to rescue your children from the perishing. Daniel chapter number 3. This image is going to emulate an image that we have seen before. And that is the Old Testament type of this Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel chapter 3. And there's a couple of things that we can notice about each of these images. These images are not set up as a memorial. We have a lot of, I'm not going to get political. I'm determined to stay away from all that mess. But we have a lot of memorials. We don't set those things up to worship them. We set them up to remember historical events, which is a great thing, by the way. And you ought to be hung for desecrating them. That's it. I'm done. Now, here's what I want to say. These things are not set up for a memorial. They are set up for the purpose, the sole purpose of worshiping them. And we see that clearly. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." So this matches Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 15. Now, there's also music is incorporated into that form of worship. We see that in verse number 5. Verse number 5 of Daniel 3 says that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Verse number 6, we see that the worship is demanded at the threat of death. The Bible said, "And whoso falleth not down and worship and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." That also matches verse 15 in Revelation 13. Both had a spy network to find out who did and who did not worship the image. Verse number 8, Daniel chapter 3. "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship that, he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast sent over the affairs of the providence. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." So Nebuchadnezzar, he had these men. They found out who were not worshiping, and they told on them, much like the governor of Virginia wants you to go onto the website and snitch about people who are coming to church, that kind of thing. And so during this tribulation period, there's going to be watchers, and if you do not participate in the worship of this image, you will be pointed out. Now, the king here in verse number 19, we'll skip down to verse number 19. The king will set an example by inhumane torture to those who refuse to worship. Look what the Bible says in verse 19. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated." He was so angry, he said, "Heat that furnace hotter than it's ever been before. We're going to get rid of these guys. They're not going to worship the image." And I'm telling you, it's going to be the same way during the tribulation period. If you won't worship this image, you won't worship this beast, then they're going to do away with you. You're going to be done for. That's going to be it. Now, look at verse 26. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was miraculously rescued, there are going to be some during the tribulation period who are going to be preserved. What a blessing. Verse 25, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Unless you have a corrupt Bible, and it doesn't say that. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the kings and king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Amen. I'm glad the Lord can take care of His own. Ain't that a blessing? Now, come back to verse 15, Revelation 13. We're about done. Just a couple more things. Verse number 15. "And He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Now, Brother James said something about this part that was really, really interesting. This, he said, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Brother James's Revelation commentary, he said about this verse, he said, "Suppose that the false prophet were to use scriptures themselves to support his lie." In fact, he said, "Would this not aid his attempts to deceive the whole world?" And this is why he said that. In Psalm 135, the Bible says this in verse 15 and 16. In verse 15, it says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." Verse 16 says this, "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not." He said, what if the false prophet is to use or were to use the Bible to get men to worship that image by using this verse of scripture or a verse like it and say, "The images of the heathens have mouths, but they can't speak. Our image can speak," causing them who hear what the Bible says but refuse to believe the Bible. There's a whole lot of people that profess they believe the Bible till you start telling them what the Bible says. And all of a sudden you find out that they're not so interested in believing the Bible because it goes against what they want to do. Amen. Now, idolatry is proof that a man has no real faith. He must see something in order to believe. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Men love idol gods that cannot see, cannot hear, and cannot speak. Those false gods cannot see, hear, or rebuke their sinful life. That's why men love idolatry. Now, the false prophet miraculously causes the image of the beast to come alive. He'll be able to speak, and it has a will. And movie makers have been demonstrating that kind of thing for years and years. And it's going to come to pass one of these days, and it's just going to be just like another day at the movies. It's all wonderful. And you're going to wind up in the lake of fire forever and ever. It's not a joke. Amen. Father, we thank You for the Bible. It is the living Word of God. We're so grateful that You have preserved it for us. And we